Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host for the most, the King of King himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only. I'm surprised he's here right now because on Thursday night, he was in Washington, D.C. at the Republican convention, shooting those fireworks in the air, chanting Trump 2020. Trump 2020 all the way. I can hear him in Brooklyn. I give you the one, the only.
Don't even try it. Sean Black in the building once again. Good Lord. If I was a lawyer, I'd sue you for slander and libel.
Oh, please. No, not too far from you. She was right there with you, setting up the fireworks in the air. I give the one and the lovely, talented lady, too. She was right there with you, please. I'm surprised you guys are here right now tonight. I thought you'd be tired from the week of celebration at the convention.
That crap was so corny. Oh, my God.
What? Okay, mm-hmm. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know
hey
the number.
Y'all.
D47-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. There's a lot to talk about. It's August 31st.
There is? I didn't realize
tomorrow's
that.
You know. Well, tomorrow's September. God knows what's going to happen on Lady T and I birthday month, you know, with everything that's happening left.
You mean to tell me we've actually almost made it through the year so far? We got like one quarter of the year left? Wow.
Listen, mm-hmm. We made it to level 9 of Jumanji, okay?
Yeah.
Start tomorrow. Let's see what happens. Well, Lady T, I will start with you first. We just saw last week the Republican National Convention, and the week prior to that, the Democratic Party. From your opinion, mm-hmm. What was your takeaway from either convention you want to address first?
The Republican one was boring.
Well,
I don't know. What was that? I thought it was leftovers from 4th of July. I didn't understand. But
you
okay.
Telling me. You were not excited when Trump had those five, pardon my correction of term, immigrants who just became American citizens broadcasted live in front of television. You were not impressed by that Trump family basically were the speakers for him. You were not impressed that he had the two people, the couple from St. Louis, that carried the guns out there speaking for him. You were not.
I was not impressed. I was not impressed by any of it. It was just looking like, you know what it looked like? It looked like the whole of 2020, and it looked like his whole 4 years just flashed before my eyes while watching that. That's the only way I can describe it. It was a summary of all of that. I was not impressed by none of it. I wasn't, even if I wanted to change, let's say if I was independent and I wanted to vote Republican, I still wouldn't. It did not impress me at all. It was just a summary of everything that has gone on. I don't know. Even when he was speaking, I'm just like, okay.
Okay, so you did watch some of his speech.
2 seconds, and I was drained. And his hair looked great, though. His hair was done excellent. Whoever was his stylist that night, that was excellent.
I actually think that he's the only president that hair doesn't go gray. Usually somebody gets in the office of the presidency, you start to see them age like after the first year. You know, Obama's hair started to go gray after his first year.
Mm-hmm.
Clinton, both Bushes, after like the first year or so, they went from looking somewhat young to looking somewhat grandpapa-ish.
Yeah, but that hair was on point that night, though. It was so on point. Mm-hmm. I think that was the only thing that was on point.
that was his moment. Well, like I told Sean, I watched 10 minutes of this speech. And like 10 minutes, I wasted of my life. Why I watch it? Because I'm trying to, you know, give him a moment, this chance, to see he could rise to the occasion. And, okay, I'll be honest, he failed. But like I told Sean Black, Lady G, most politicians, when they give their moment of speeches, they tell the usual lies. You know.
Yeah.
You know. The story, the stuff that people want to hear, and you hear them over and over. I promise you new jobs. We will get better. Blah blah blah. But Trump that night, in my opinion, gave the lie of all lies. Like, are you kidding me? Like, all this will be happening if you let Biden in office. But is it all the stuff that's the unemployment, the riots, the protests, the pandemic, the nation divided? Is all that is happening right now under his watch?
You know something about that, Hot Rod, when you say that? We have to remember those things happen under every president's watch. We know these things are going to happen, but it's the way of the integrity in which you handle it as a leader. You understand what I'm saying? So we know these things and more can happen.
So what you're saying is...
I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Under Obama, under Clinton, these things happen all the time. No question about it. But like I told Sean Beck, all the time, my problem with this administration overall, this is your chance. The first 4 years, you try to work your ass off so you could get reelected. He had his chance, in my opinion, to do something, whether we like him or not. Like Cuomo, do I care for Governor Cuomo? Not really. But guess what? I believe he did okay of a job handling the pandemic. New York would still have a great racial rate. Does he have other? Did he make many mistakes? Yes, given. But is he doing something? Did he show leadership in his speech? Did he show leadership? Yes. He sounds like a true BS politician. Compared to Trump, he threw his pointy fingers, like Sean, like always says, he like to point fingers to everybody, but he's not doing anything about it. But his supporters that night of the convention that did not wear masks, of course they did not social distance, you know, like a spreader, you know. It's like, I just can't wrap my head around it. But go ahead, Sean Black, I'm sorry.
So, Lady T, what you're trying to say is that this current administration is lacking the integrity to actually show where they should, how they should lead and what they should do to make sure that they can get through these obstacles that are put before them. That's what you were trying to say.
Yeah, I feel like they have to follow. It's either Trump's way or no way, it seems like, because you see when people come in and give their little opinions, we could say for Dr. Fauci, he'll get shut down, he'll be silenced, and then Trump will come back in. You understand what I'm saying? So it's not like those other people don't hold the standards of integrity. I wouldn't say, I'm not, you know, going to out them and say that. But the leadership, the top-of-the-line leadership, which is your president, has to also allow them to make certain moves. He can't overstep their moves as well. You understand what I mean? Somebody hovering over you, okay, no, you can't do it like this. And they're professionals in their fields. That's why he hired them, right? You know what I mean? So you can't micromanage. Yeah, you can't micromanage, in other words.
Well,
it's not going to work.
I think this administration trying to find someone with integrity is like trying to have Aquaman find a dry spot in the ocean. It's just not going to be happening with this administration. And I think that the one thing that we continue to do, and Hot Rod alluded to this earlier, you said you looked at the RNC, one of at least the Trump acceptance speech, to see if he would at some point sound and look presidential. I think that's what everybody has seemingly tried to give this president every time there is something huge and monumental, for at least him showing up. As I've said before, as we talked about this off air, that this is the job interview. And when you go to the job interview, you're supposed to have your resume in hand. And the only thing that I see on this current president's resume is the violence that we've been seeing all over the place, racism, literal civil war, because we've been seeing racial things going on and on and on and on. Now, true, racism and social unjust and those kinds of things have happened way before this president got in office. But he's definitely done enough job to glass the place with napalm and know that that's going to continue to burn no matter what.
So in other words, Sean Black, he had more fire to the fuel. No, fuel to the fire.
Yes. He has basically been the conduit for a lot of people who feel the way he does that now are emboldened to say and do what they want to do. Give you a perfect example. We saw what's been going on after Jacob Blake's shooting in Kenosha. We also know what's going on in Portland, Oregon. If you haven't seen it on television, they've been showing it ad nauseum on television. There were two unmarked pickup trucks in Portland, Oregon, that blew through protesters, peacefully protesting. They had Trump flags, and they had mace. They squirted protesters in the face with mace and literally tried to run people over with no license plates on them. Think about that. The president actually saw some of this stuff and basically called a lot of these Trump supporters out of there and, quote, great patriots.
Hold on 1 second. Can you pause 1 second, Sean Black? So what is the difference between them doing that and then what they want to say, Black Lives Matter, is very aggressive right now? What's the difference?
You'd have to ask them.
Because it seems like the same thing. Yeah, exactly.
And that's the problem, because we've seen a lot of people argue that the people that argue against Black Lives Matter as far as the concept of it, there's the concept and then there's the movement. The movement that has actually been doing a lot of peaceful protesting. I'm not talking about the sprinkling of agitators that we have already seen come from other places. And I'm not talking about the handful of knuckleheads that we have seen that have been in there.
Handful.
I'm talking about as a whole, in general. We have seen a lot of peaceful protests that have been hijacked by a lot of people that are against the movement and against those protests and using that as an example to get their message across, to threaten, to scare, to drum up, and to support the president and the current administration, who have really done nothing but stoke the flames of a lot of this discontent and a lot of this anger and vitriol and rage. And those are the kinds of things that you see on television.
Talk about being hijacked and everything. Last night on the menu, Brother B show, he talked about racism and Trump. And like Lacey always said, these type of movements always get hijacked. So from Me Too to Black Lives Matter to the Hot Rod Matters, they always get hijacked. But Brother B, with that
Hot Rod,
that works.
You know he's wearing
but
that T-shirt right about now, right?
Of course I am. But Brother B, with that fire you had last night on your show, with racism and Black Lives Matter, how do you portray that right now? Do you see it getting any better if Trump leaves office?
Wait, repeat the question? Wait, first of all, greetings and salutations, everyone.
Hey, brother. Like,
greetings and salutations.
Hey, what's up? What up? What,
all the matters that's happening right now, let's say Trump leaves office, do you see this continuing to the next era, basically?
No, I don't see a continuance, but I don't see a continuance, but I do see his people being angry enough to just want to fan the flames themselves. Like, they don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, their spokesperson is gone. So now, you know, they got to do something. Unless Biden does something, you know, to, you know, put all of them in their place. I mean, I don't think it's just going to, you know, go away like that. I think it's just going to continue to kind of be what it is.
So we should expect more protesting, more riots.
Well,
so if it's not the left, it's going to be the right.
I don't think so much of the rioting. It's just the sentiment. It's the whole attitude. You know what I'm saying? That's really not going to go anywhere. It's like, you know what I'm saying, after you tell your kid, hey, get your butt in the room and you're on punishment. And they start sulking for like the next like 8 hours, and they don't want to talk to you. You know, that's the same way it's going to be, you know, with them. But I think Biden is going to try and calm down the protesting, because this dude is not saying anything so your silence speaks volumes. If you're not saying anything, that means people are just like, okay, we must be doing the right thing. Let's keep doing it.
I wouldn't be surprised, just like how they have the Black Lives Matter movement. They'll do, what's his hat, the MAGA hat. They'll have that movement next. I won't be surprised through that. You know what I mean? I will not be surprised to see that.
I wouldn't either, but I'll ask you this, Lady T, and to all others. Should we still even be calling it the Black Lives Matter protest?
No.
Because it's really not, because I think most black people abandoned it a long time ago. It's not us.
But that's what they want it to be. That's how they market it now. It was never us before, as far as that movement. That movement was what they were. They now classify that as that's representing all black people. It amazes me when people are just going to the basic protest for George Floyd and they'll put Black Lives Matter. They just mean Black Lives Matter. They're not even part of that movement. People don't even realize that they have nothing to do with it. It's just a catchphrase now.
The movement, I think, has become more of a slogan or a battle cry. More so than anything else.
Right, and that's what they were trying to destroy them from the get-go. They did it now. It's hand over to someone else who's funding them. You understand what I'm saying, and who's calling the shots. So they destroyed that a long time ago. That's been done.
Yeah.
But true, ladies, yeah. But it seemed like, correct me if I'm wrong, that it seemed like more white people are making noise inside of Black Lives Matter than we are. And technically speaking, like, you know, they fight for us. Like, can we just fight our own battles?
I don't think so. I think they're trying to show you unity, no different than Dr. King's marches and so forth. So to me, there is nothing wrong with that, because I have my friends that totally don't agree with none of the garbage that goes on, and they've been speaking on it way before, you know, the last few killings and so forth. So they've been part of whatever movements they are. People don't believe in that. It's not every white person is a racist. Just like every black person isn't a racist.
Here's what I think that is being missed in all of this. I think a lot of the things that we're seeing now, as you've heard me say many, many times before, a lot of this is the distraction from all of the death from the coronavirus. All of how the administration screwed this whole thing up, and we're now at 6 million cases in the U.S. alone. Over 180,000 dead. This is the distraction. This is the shiny bauble on the Christmas tree. Now, if you're looking at everything else that's going on now,
Trump said it will be over soon.
And if you believe Trump, you take a shot glass full of bleach and you chug that down and see if that cures you.
Yeah, the nerve to even say that.
This is what's crazy.
I'm sorry. Oh, Sean, to your point,
he said
it's going to
be over for the summer.
But he also said it was going to be over in April. He said it was going to be
He doesn't know when it's going to be over, because he kicked out the people in the beginning who knew about this, who could have handled it and maybe have a better control under it. But he needs to always want to micromanage everything. You're not a doctor, dude.
And
you're not even a real politician.
To get back to what's been going on with the BLM movement per se and all of the other stuff that's going on, this president and this administration knows what they're doing, at least from the standpoint of not only hijacking what the message has been, but also sowing the seeds of discontent and violence that have been going on, because he knows, his campaign advisors know, and I think most of the American people that support Trump know, that the more that we see violence going on right now, all of the examples of what's going on, the better it seems in his mind to help his reelection campaign. If you notice, every place that he's gone to campaign, he's painting Joe Biden's America, you're going to see death, it's going to be the end of the suburbs as you know it, everything is going to fall apart, and he's been talking about what's going to happen in the future, what's going to happen if Biden is elected. The last time I checked, Biden isn't president. The last time I checked, Biden isn't a senator. He isn't in public office right now. He's running for that job, but he doesn't have it yet. So while he's trying to tell everybody what will happen tomorrow, he's trying to get everybody to forget what the heck is going on today, what happened yesterday and last week, and what has happened in this country since January and February.
But you know what the problem is with that? He's threatened by Biden due to the fact that Biden was a vice president. So you need to tarnish his image, because what's your image? What has your last 4 years shown? You understand what I'm saying? Versus you knew what Biden, we know what Biden was as vice president. Great. Some people may not agree with certain things that he's done when he was in Congress and so forth, or whatever the case may be before that. Okay, great. But he is qualified for the job, and this is what he is threatened by. So he has to tarnish his image. But how long can you keep doing this? It's like a little kid, Oh, I don't like her because of this, or I don't like him because of this. Shut up. Do your job, and you can focus on your job and stop worrying about other people. You might come out looking even better. You might get reelected, but he can't do that.
My last point on that is the main reason why Trump is really pissed off about all of this stuff right now is that, as we always know, he's the reality president. Everything is reality-based. He knows that the DNC got bigger ratings than the RNC, which we know will piss him off to no end, because he talks about everything and look at the biggest ratings. I have the greatest ratings. He's a reality show president running the country like it's a reality show. And the problem is, the reality is too disgusting to look at right now. It's a repeat right now of what he's doing of the 2016 election, and people have starting to tune out.
And to Sean's point earlier, he sent me a story about Herman Cain, who passed away from the COVID. He sent out a tweet before he died, before he passed away. He downplayed the coronavirus, that it's not deadly. So I'm like, how oxymoron can that be? It's like me saying, I'm going to get drunk on vodka, but I drink vodka like a horse. You know, it's like, I just don't see it.
Did you drink vodka tonight?
Oh, damn right, I will. This is my last week of vacation. I got to do something. But it's like, it shows you how Trump, how delusional some of Trump's supporters are. Like, they're afraid, they don't want to see the truth of anything, even though it's right there in front of them. They still deny it. And talk about a Trump supporter that deny everything. K-Dog, what's your takeaway about this before we move on?
Good evening, everybody. When it comes to Trump, you just got to shake your head at the whole damn thing, because, again, the lack of leadership, the lack of, you know, anything presidential when you see Donald Trump. Nothing is presidential about him. We've seen the same things over and over again. Even during the Republican National Convention, speech after speech after speech of the same thing, bashing Biden, this is going to cause, or he's going to cause this, he's going to cause that, not once mentioning about the coronavirus, because you know why? He failed at that. He failed big time. And not even mentioning the recent events like the shooting of Jacob Blake. As a matter of fact, today I was watching in the news, and he said he's not talking to the family of Jacob Blake. What does he care about it? And his supporters are out there causing havoc. I mean, come on now. You have a supporter who walked him. He defended, as a matter of fact. He even defended the shooter. He defended him by saying, well, you know, we'll let the government, we'll let the law enforcement handle it.
Yeah, and funny that that person got killed, right?
So two people got killed.
What do you think about that person that got? What do you think about that protester that got killed overall? Does that send out a message that Trump people are evil people, but the left side, you know, they're doing their damage too as well? So, is it? Do you see?
It comes down to accountability. It comes down to accountability, and which a lot of his team doesn't want to take and be accountable for it. So really, really think it comes down to accountability on both sides.
When it comes down to protesters, sorry for interrupting, but the protesters are there to protest. And, of course, you're going to have a couple of people who are going to be there for themselves, are going to be, you know, coming in and looting and all of that, making it look bad for the protesters. But the protesters are not dangerous. You're saying that Black Lives Matter is dangerous. Oh, that these agitators, what are they doing? They're just protesting. It's your people, the alt-right groups, and I call it what it is, a white nationalist group,
that are out there with their guns, standing there, aiming at the protesters. And I've seen numerous fistfights break out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, them attacking, walking towards the protesters, even driving through the protests. I mean, things like this. You're calling other people agitators, but you're the biggest agitator. You're the one that's agitating.
All right, Brother B, he told me earlier he had something to say. We're going to talk about Jacob Blake and that. What's that kid named, Sean Blake, the white kid, the white business kid?
His name is Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yes, we're going to talk about that right now, with everything that's going on connected to Trump and those craziness. Well, Brother B, there's a thing we'd like to say about this kid. What do you like to talk about?
Well, my thing is this. I see, well, I don't know if it's fake news or not, but, you know, I've Facebook friends with some people, and they seem to tout this kid as a hero. Even on the Jacob Blake, that I'm not even going to call him a police officer. He's a shooter. Because from a person who's been carrying a firearm for 13 years, there's no reason in the world how you can shoot somebody 7 times point blank in the back. Point blank is like 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, you know what I'm saying, that's 3 feet away from you. You're shooting somebody, and you're grabbing on his shirt, and you're shooting them. Hunters don't even shoot animals that many times.
Exactly.
In front of his children, too.
Wow. You know what?
In front of his children.
That's a very good concept.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good concept.
It doesn't make any sense. If you were able to grab onto his T-shirt, then you should have been able to, you know, do something. Like, listen, in order to not shoot someone, I would have kicked the door on him, on his arm, something. I would have rather broke an arm instead of put bullets in his back. Anything to avoid the escalation getting deadly.
Mm-hmm.
But they chose not to do that.
Well, Brother B, last time on the show, you said that if someone's not qualified for the job, they should not do it. What happened, like we always said many times, is emotion takes the best of you, like that situation. Like, you know, typical stereotype, white cop afraid for his life with a black man, unarmed black man.
Well, some people can make excuses for these cats, but I don't see Asian cops, Indian cops, black cops, you know, too many Spanish cops. I don't see them doing that. It always seems to be a Caucasian person. So what does that say? It's either fear or it's just a hate. Now, with Kyle Rittenhouse, listen, he's no freaking hero.
Nope.
17 years old with a firearm, with a long gun that he should not have had. His mother willingly drove him across state lines, which is a charge, to cross state lines. Now, as far as I know, and last time I checked, no law on the books that says that you can't cross state lines with the firearm, but it has to be legal from the start of the trip to the destination that you're going, which is the end of the trip.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to some type of NRA function, or so you're shooting for sport, or you moved out of state, of course, you got to follow all of the rules of each state that you go through. He obviously didn't he didn't follow any of them. So,
and why is that? Because he thought he was privileged? Why?
Well,
why
him
he
and
didn't
his mother.
Follow it?
I guess they're trying to say because they went to go help. No, you weren't. Listen, first
help
of all, you can't even use self-defense. Because self-defense is different if it's coming at you at that moment, at that time. But his intent, when he left the house with a gun, what does that say?
He did.
If you
he went in there, right?
He went in there on a mission. He went in there on a mission.
Was it a mission to help? That's what I'm asking. It was a mission to help, right? We have our Marines that go out and our troops that go out for the mission to help. But they make sure that they're within the standards of it. So what makes this kid different? That's what I want to know. What made him think he was different?
That kid was Sean. He was a part of a militia. He was a part of militia. A
there
big
was
time
a militia.
Part of a militia. Yeah.
Go ahead, Sean Black.
As we can talk about a lot of this stuff, until we're blue in the face. But this is something that has been going on now for weeks and weeks and weeks, as far as publicly going on since the Floyd murder, since the Breonna Taylor murder, and a lot of other murders that we probably have touched on this show, and then probably the murders that we haven't touched on because they're so numerous. What we do see is this glorification of people like this from the Trump administration, mostly that we've heard. Like, this person, like you said, he's being portrayed as a hero. And I don't understand how that happens if you can kill you can literally kill two people. As I stated before, he literally walked through the street with a gun strapped around his shoulders. And prior to that, the police offered him water because they asked him if he was thirsty. When he finished walking by, this was shown on video, when he got down toward the end of his walk, and I guess he met up with some police officer, and the police asked him what's going on. He literally told them, something's going on back there, I don't know what's going on, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, right in front of him.
If you can walk around with a gun strapped around your chest and then tell a police officer, something happened behind me, something happened behind me, and that police officer doesn't actually look at this person that's got that gun, an AR-15, mind you, and say, well, maybe we need to bring you in. You know, why are you walking in the street?
For his gun permit on the spot.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's with all of the, why do you have an automatic weapon at night during a protest, walking in the street? And these are the kinds of things that happen. And I'll guarantee you, if that man was a Muslim, if that man was Hispanic, if that man was black, he would not only been on the ground, he would have already had, he would have probably had more shots.
He would have been dead.
Than Jacob.
They would have shot him up and say, he's a threat.
So sad.
Every letter in his name. And that's the God's honest truth. And the reason why a lot of people.
He's a thug.
And the reason why a lot of stuff happens.
He's not a kid.
We know personally from seeing a lot of these things and from us knowing the kinds of situations that African Americans have been put through over the years when it comes to police and seeing this kind of thing happening. The fact that he was able to do this, as Brother B brought up, cross state lines and then cross back. He came from Illinois. So it's not like he came from, 15 blocks away or whatever. He came from Illinois.
Yeah.
Went into Wisconsin, shot up a bunch of protesters, and then went back to Illinois. That should tell you something.
Like nothing happened.
He was not there to protect
like nothing,
anybody.
Like,
he was there to
protect this story reminds me of – no, I just wanted to say real quick. Like, you know how these mass shooters just get away with everything? And I'm not going to say their color. This is what this is reminding me of, because this could have turned into a whole different thing. I want to know where this kid's head was at. I'm still not understanding it.
When you're part of something like that, when you're part of a militia, especially when you're part of that propaganda, they call themselves the alt-right group. What do you think? You see what their thought process is. They're like, we're patriots. They consider themselves patriots.
Okay, we have patriots that already shot up certain events, that shot up schools.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me about where their mental is. Go ahead, Brother B.
Brother B. All right. First of all, there was no militia. He just said his self-proclaimed militia that he was with. He wasn't
exactly.
With militia.
That's what
he
I'm
just
saying.
Said
so it had
he went there to go
religion.
Render aid. He went there to go help.
Render aid could have turned into something else. That's my point that I'm making. Where was his thought process really at?
His thought process, real quick, his thought process was on doing damage. Because you don't leave your house with a gun if you didn't have intentions on using it.
And going that far, that's my point. Is nobody seeing the mental in that?
17 years old.
So are you calling it mental illness? Are you saying
no, I'm not calling mental. I'm not going to say what I'm calling it. because it didn't lead to it. But people don't realize
nope.
certain things.
It's the
but
mindset of where he was.
It's the mindset.
In because his
exactly.
social media was pro-Trump, pro-Trump support,
yep.
pro-police
Very pro-Trump.
Support. And if you look at how a lot of these things happen and how they progress, he calls himself a patriot, patriot, patriot. And as you've heard me say before, Oscar Wilde said a quote, that patriotism is a virtue of the vicious. And a lot of those folks that keep hearing about that do a lot of these things, the first word that comes out of their mouth, patriot, great patriot. The president said it himself, great patriot, great patriot. Great patriotism
okay.
is they're killing people.
All right, Phil the Fishman Fisher, what do you like to say about it? And plus, Trump was defending this guy earlier today. Were you surprised by that? And do you agree with it or not? Go ahead, Phil.
Okay, my question is this. Let's forget about what color he is or whatever. He's 17 years old. A 17-year-old has no business carrying a gun and going shooting people. 17 years old, your ass should be in high school. And learning. I mean, I know I was 17 years old. My ass was in high school. Let me finish my point. I was in school. Not only that, and I had to help my father run his card store on the weekend. And here's the other question. Where is the mother's head? Where is her head at?
Yeah.
Driving a kid across state lines? Where is this woman's head at? Hell, the woman should be arrested for letting a minor roam across state lines with a freaking gun.
And drove him back home.
Exactly. And drove him. Yeah. Good
doesn't
job,
matter.
No,
great conversation I'm sure they were having. Great car conversation.
Where is her head? I mean, come on. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a Trump supporter or not.
But Phil, I'll throw in this. The reason why it's the way it's been, there's no school. You know why there's no school? Because there's a pandemic. Why is there a pandemic?
Yeah.
Because the current administration didn't do enough to make sure that this didn't happen.
Exactly.
True. But Sean,
and you know what
point,
people
like
were saying
be...
about the. You know what people were saying
no,
about
like,
the pandemic. People were saying that once this election is over, people are saying you're going to see how fast it's going to go away.
Well,
what's the mental state of mind of people, and I'm not talking about mental illness. Everybody's affected. I talk to kids all the time. They are worried. They are concerned. They have certain kids have anxiety because of this. So it's a lot of things that's going to be going on with the mental psyche.
And this is going to go on for years.
To Phil point about the mother. Like I told our Mother B's show last night, yes, you blame the mother more than the son. Well, the son did his deed, but the mother seemed like she encouraged it to go do it. Like, hey,
well,
Sean, let's go shoot some people in Jersey. Yeah.
He wasn't legal. He wasn't legal to get that gun.
Yeah.
So who got it for him?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. He's not legal enough to vote. And
is ACS
supporter.
Open? Is ACS open out there? Oh, okay.
Who knows?
But even more so,
well, no man.
The credit check. Who's doing the background check on a 17-year-old getting a gun?
Yeah,
that's the question.
Like, said,
that's because you know what? In different states, because you have different states. In different states, there's different laws.
Not over there. I looked it up. Negative.
In Illinois, you have to be 18 and up.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You have to. And now my question is, how the hell did he get that gun? And the kind of gun he had, an AR-15.
His mother.
The mother should be locked up and thrown in jail.
The mother got it for him as a birthday present.
That's a damn shame.
Go ahead, Brother B.
Did you see the video where he was punching on the girl?
Wow.
Yeah, that was on social media.
This is what I'm talking about. Why mental? Y'all think I'm playing right now. So what girl are you punching at 17 years old? You already know about domestic violence. Now you have a firearm. Hi.
And he wanted to be a cop. The kid's got a record.
I mean, I've seen it. It was on Facebook. Somebody posted all the charges that this kid has had. I don't remember them offhand, but there was a bunch.
Okay, talk about record, and I want to switch it up a little bit. Lady T and Brother B, they saw the note that I sent them on Facebook about a friend of mine. He's white. saying is like, was good karma what happened to Jacob Blick? That, you know, that was his daughter who was shot him like 20 times in the back. Remember that note?
Yeah.
Does the record have to do with anything of what happened to Jacob Blick?
Well, first of all, we don't even know the circumstances. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Brother B. Go ahead. I know what I'm going to say. I'll say it after. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. Real quick. Yeah, we don't even fully know what, because, you know, people hear things and then they kind of misconstrue it. We don't fully know what his charges, his past charges were, but that has nothing to do with him going over there to break up a fight, and the next thing you know, he has 7 bullets in his back.
Exactly.
One thing has nothing to do with the other. At the same time, we also don't know his mental state at the time. We don't know what was going on. See, we can automatically assume, or we can say what we want to say, but when it boils down to it, you know, it's something fishy about the whole situation. And my thing is, yo, 7 bullets, point blank range. Come on, man. Like, it's a no brainer.
The person's record has nothing to do with it, because we've seen the same thing happen. I remember when Eric Garner was choked to death. They brought up, oh, he had a prison record. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? Was he committing any crime that day? Come on now.
So the person's record has everything to do with it, because that's what they always use to tarnish the person's image when they know that they've done something wrong. So that's the whole point of why that's always used. Whether the person served time, whether they got charges dropped, it'll still be spoken on. We've seen that guy rest his soul with Kobe. So things like this is always to tarnish the image to say, oh, that person deserves it.
And these are the kind
of... You're going to always have those group of people that feels like, yes, he deserves that, da-da-da-da-da. You always
have to justify it.
That's
justified.
Mm-hmm. But to your point, Lady T, why they quickly talk about that, but they didn't talk too much about the kid that punched a girl?
Why would they?
Like,
He's white. They're protecting him. He's white.
This is my point.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they?
Yeah, and I know the devil's advocate is trying to figure that side out. But when you're looking at what everything we just brought up, the character assassination is usually there before the actual assassination.
Exactly.
That was an attempted murder. That was literally an attempted murder by cops that was there. Now, Brother B brought up the point that I had brought up to the Hot Rod literally the day after the shooting, because we talked about it for about maybe half an hour. And I brought up the same thing.
We did?
That if you could, of course, you're sober now, so you don't remember anything right now. So.
No.
And that doesn't surprise you?
And
that doesn't surprise you one bit.
Oh, my goodness. Once you forget something, man.
Phil, you've known me long enough to know we know where he was at when he's sober.
Exactly.
Literally.
Wow.
As I told him, if you can grab somebody's arm before they get into a car, when they have nothing in their hands, you have a chance to subdue them, especially if you've got more than one police officer trained on that target. So obviously there was no opportunity or chance or even a mindset to even attempt to get him on the ground. And if they said, look, I shot him in the leg to bring him down, at least he's alive and he's not paralyzed. The fact that he's even still alive, that's one thing. But here's the more egregious thing that we haven't even touched on about the Blake issue. In the hospital bed, he was handcuffed.
Yes. Yeah.
The man is paralyzed. What does a paralyzed man need to have a handcuff to a bed for? That shows that she can.
They need to make sure they're taking their proper protocols. That's what that is. They're showing that they're doing their job.
There's a difference between protocol and just plain common sense. What is he going to do? Run up, do a handstand out of the hospital bed and run out of the back of the hospital?
Sean, you never know. He might find Jesus and, you know, God and miracle and just run out of there. You never know.
Right. Exactly. So,
but
this is where we sit with another incident with another black person or Latino person or any other minority that has been charged with quote unquote a crime. They bring into effect, even if he didn't do anything, they'll look into what he did in high school. Oh, he tripped his teacher in the third grade, so he deserved to get shot. Oh, he pushed his little sister in the street, or he did something. There's always some negative story behind somewhere where they can use to literally character assassinate a victim and make the cop or whoever's doing the shooting justified in what they did for the overuse of force to bring someone in. And this is happening way too often, and people are tired of it.
Okay, and this question is going out to Phil. Phil, this is a sports question. I don't want to hear anything about the Mets, but this is a sports question.
Yeah, well, watch. Okay, you want to hear something about the Mets? We should boycott Edwin Diaz.
No, no, no.
He sucks. Go ahead.
I'll hang
Go ahead,
on
make
you
your
right
point.
Now if you start talking about the Mets. Last week, when the NBA, Major League Baseball, and hockey, surprisingly, like I told Sean, I was shocked, made a statement and did protest that did not play for a couple of days. What are your reaction to that, and do you think they made a difference?
You know, my reaction, it's simple. You got to remember, they're there to do a job, and they're getting paid for it. Because if I was to do something like that, you know what my employer would tell me? You want to boycott? Go ahead and boycott, but don't come back. You're fired. I would be fired. So in that sense, to me, you want to stand for something, do it on your own time. Not on company time. That's what ticked me off. And I know LeBron James right now thinks, and he's pissed off a lot of the younger players in the meeting that they had. He's talking about not wanting to play this season. And he pissed a lot of people off. He thinks he's the king. He's above nobody.
I just think it's a little too late. When Kaepernick did it, people should have followed Ben when Kaepernick did it. It's a little too late for me. It looks so tarnished right now. I'm drained with it. Just stop at this point.
Yeah, you guys know how I feel about the anthem with people kneeling on it. I don't like it. You should be standing for the anthem. That's my opinion.
You can stand, you can sit, you can do whatever you want with the anthem. That's two different things. Nobody said you always have to pledge or whatever they do with the anthem, freedom of speech with that. But this whole thing, people should have listened when Kaepernick was doing it. Now we want to try it again. I don't know. It's boring to me right
now.
I just think sports should do something, but you don't boycott games. And you're there to do a job. Because like I said, if I were to do it, I would be fired. Anybody that works a regular 9-to-5 job would be fired.
But the difference is this isn't a 9-to-5 job. And this is something that is collectively bargained. Because you got to remember, the players are unionized. They have power. And when you consider the fact that the players, I'll take the NBA for instance. The NBA is a league where you have one African-American team owner, very few African-American GMs, and yet the majority of the players, which is roughly about 80% of the players or 85% of the players, are African-American or Hispanic. And when you look at the fact that the issues that are involve them more so than the employers that are paying them their paychecks, and nothing is getting done. They have a platform. If you're able to affect change in some way, that's what they were able to do. So what they ended up doing, even though I personally think if they were going to boycott, they should have just said, I'm leaving the NBA bubble. I'm done. Deal with it in that sense.
Yeah.
That would get some real change. But what they did get was they were able to have, in conjunction with the NBA arenas, are to use the NBA arenas as polling centers so that people who follow the NBA, who are African-American and Hispanic, who either haven't voted, haven't registered to vote, don't feel safe enough to want to be able to vote, especially what's been going on with the mail-in voting stuff, that they can use that as a polling site. See, this is what the power of what celebrity athletes have been doing. These are the kinds of things that LeBron James has been doing. The fact that he created a school that is not a charter school, which people on the right are saying, oh, well, LeBron created a charter school. It's not a charter school. This is a public school funded with his own money and the state of Ohio. So those are the kinds of things that he is bringing to the table, and other African Americans that are athletes, and we're seeing it in all of the sports right now, is that they are sick and tired of being sick and tired, and that's the reason why they're doing this right now.
Also, to say to Sean's point, a lot of the NBA arenas are also shared with the NHL teams too.
Yes.
Yeah, but the NHL volunteered to sit out.
Yeah, the NHL even volunteered to boycott a game. I mean, if you're going to boycott, especially with all that's going on, boycott. You know, if you want to make a statement about it, you really want to make a statement, don't just say, oh, I'm going to stop playing for a couple of days. Okay. Some people, they just walk out due to what they believe in. You understand? So that's what it is when it comes to that. Just say, okay, I'm boycotting.
You also have to realize their salary allows them to do that. They can afford to do that, even if they wanted to walk out. Let's say if LeBron said, I'm not going to play for the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
I was just about to say what Lady G was about to say.
They can lose their salary for the whole year. He'll be good.
But check this out. It's bigger than that. Because how many NFL and NBA players have had their little run-ins with the law, and it wasn't
right?
Yes. So course, after a while, you get that attitude of like, well, listen, I'm tired of entertaining you bastards that want to throw me on the floor because either A, you're jealous you're not in my tax bracket, or B, you just hate the fact that you're not in my tax bracket and we're not in the same color.
Because
you don't hear them doing that. You don't hear them doing that to any of the white cats. I mean, if you want to keep it real, keep it 100. You don't see them doing it to the white cats. I can hear someone saying, well, the white ones don't do that. The white ones don't engage in criminal activity. Yeah, they do.
They do. They have domestic violence and things like that. So
wait a minute. Patrick Kane, back in 2010, accused of rape.
You know what they were doing, and
I remember the Stanley Cup Finals between Chicago and Philadelphia. The Philly fans were chanting "She said no" whenever Patrick Kane took the ice.
And I remember that. But
don't forget Big Ben. Don't forget Big Ben.
He's another one.
But the problem, Phil, this is one of the problems that happens a lot. We've seen a lot of white athletes do crazy things. But the one thing a white athlete will never have to deal with is getting in his car, driving somewhere,
getting pulled
being
over,
stopped by the police
because
he's black. And that's the difference. If a black person is in a car, irregardless, if he's driving a BMW or he's got a Ferrari because he's playing for the Rangers,
he gets pulled over because
$5 million a year, he gets pulled over to the side. He's just another black person.
Oh, well, Sean, I can even go further than that, because there have been entertainers that's happened to many a times that people have been pulled over and they've been pulled out the car. So they even had guns drawn on them, thrown down to the ground, and that's what they said. Like, perfect example, years ago when Wesley Snipes said when he got pulled over, and all of a sudden the cop goes, oh, wow, you're Wesley Snipes. He's like, you're damn right I'm Wesley Snipes. That's an example.
Yeah.
That's happened many times.
And Johnson said the same thing on a radio show. He said that he's had guns drawn on him, pulled out of his car, and he said that at any moment he knows that if he flinches the wrong way, they pull the trigger, he's dead.
Exactly.
And I just want to add 2 points before I move on. Remember Jay Farrell of Saturday Night Live?
In LA,
he got stopped by cops, and he told the cops to Google his name. And they did, and they found out who he was. If he were not for his celebrity power, God knows what would have happened to him.
Yeah,
and
that
also,
was 2 months
like,
ago.
Imagine if the cops just didn't care to Google him and they just decided to do it anyway.
Yes. And
think
also, like Brother B always brings up this story, the Michael Vick story. a man who paid his debt to society for what he did, and he's still getting dog chewed to this day. If it was a white person, it would they would forgive and forget and get a second chance. That's the difference.
Listen, Michael Vick is probably worse than a pedophile in some people's eyes. What he did, they probably think that he's worse than the damn pedophile. Michael Vick will never be vindicated, no matter how much time he served, community service, he can feed the animals, all that stuff. He will never, never be forgiven. Never.
No matter what he does.
Too late, T. I hate this question, but I had to bring it up to you anyway. The latest song from Cardi B, Rap, W-A-P, is, you know, behind the charts, but being criticized for his lyrics of demeaning women in some sort. But Sean and I, we talked about this last week. We all agree. We heard worse songs with worse lyrics back then when we was growing up. Slick Rick, Davy Crockett. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm thinking even some of Lil' Kim's verses, but okay. Yeah. So go ahead. Let me get the question.
This is nothing new. We know better. But the internet is going crazy. All this is, you know, with everything that's going on with the Me Too, why they have these artists coming out with these type of lyrics, you know, just grading women bodies or that other stuff.
Go ahead, because I'm going I just want to say something. All of y'all that's on this panel came out of WAP. What the F is the problem with it? It's lyrics.
It's poetry,
stuff is written just like that, and it's not targeted like that. What, because they said it? Y'all probably had some WAP before. No? Nobody on this panel? Everybody's version?
It's one of the stupidest things that anybody can argue
for.
The reason why I say that is because, as we said, we've heard worse.
We've heard worse lyrics than anything.
Yeah.
I've heard
same
worse lyrics.
Stuff and don't get castigated anywhere near as much. Remember Akinelli put it in your mouth? Remember all
of
those
songs?
Of
course. Yes,
oh God, I wish
there's plenty of songs that I've heard.
Explicit lyrics going on in hip hop. Plenty.
Y'all forget Little Kim, Big Mama, Big Mama Coochie when she rapped those lyrics
back in the early '90s. Remember when Two Life Crew came out in the early '90s with their lyrics?
I wish my brother was down here because he had just about every.
You know what's so interesting? When I watched the video, I was like, what the F is WAP? For a while, I was just like, all right, the video, da-da-da, I got it. Then I'm like, what are they talking about? Then I was like, oh, that's what they talking about. It didn't bother me. Why is everybody shy? Y'all be doing some dirty stuff behind the scene, but the minute that they put it out, you offended.
No, the internet has nothing better to do. People are quick to criticize. Like Brother T is going to be saying all the time.
They're not
people
perfect
forget
them,
their history.
So. Exactly.
No, they
ain't perfect than themselves.
Meanwhile, the guys are doing DAD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Y'all want to know what that is?
We know.
I
know.
D. Y'all know what it is. Cut the crap.
Well, I'm saying that because, you know, with everything that's going on, like, you know, hashtag Me Too, blah, 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 women, when they're rights and everything, and here you are bringing these lyrics up.
Because women are not allowed to show their sexuality or even speak on it, and that's something
that
always
bothers
me.
A danger.
We teach boys how to do that, but girls, we're supposed to stay silent and shy with it, or whatever the case may be. I'm drained with
it
already.
It's always been that. It's always been known.
I know you've been singing that song nonstop, Brother B. Anything like to add on?
Brother B been using his pump. Stop, let me stop messing with Brother B.
I'm going to bring you a chicken sandwich.
Oh. Extra chicken.
All I can say is, man.
Talk about
like,
greetings,
you know,
and salutations. Greetings.
Listen. All I can say at this point is, man, just don't believe the hype, man. And some people out here just stop being stupid and feeding into the propaganda and the negativity, because this is really getting out of control. If this is what's a part of making America great again, then we're doomed. We're doomed.
Well,
exactly.
Well, if people don't go out there and vote in November, this will be 4 more years of this. Maybe worse, but definitely not better.
And maybe that's what we should be focusing on instead of WAP. WAP is going to be around. This election is serious.
Yeah. Please get out there and vote. But don't just sit at home and don't do a damn thing. Get your asses out there and vote. That's what I got to say.
I'm sure we'll be hearing about that a lot in the next couple of months. Brother B, Sean, Phil, Lady T, and K-Dog. Guys, be careful out there. Be safe. Thank you so much for a good show tonight. And
that's right.
See you in 2 weeks. Next week, I'm taking another vacation day.
Okay. All right.
So the pleasure will be all right. This time.
All right. Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night, people.